Good morning. We're going to come now for a time of centering, if you can listen to the beautiful music, Old Rugged Cross. A welcome to all of our visitors today. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. If you are a visitor today, we would love to connect with you if you'll see an usher on the way out. Happy Mother's Day. Be sure to grab a photo if you saw coming in at our photo booth. We'd love if you would tag Cook's Church on your social media. We'd love to see all of your photos with your mothers and with your kids. That would be wonderful to see. Our beautiful flowers today are in memory of and honor of all Cook's mothers from James and Kay Harper. If you were at the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Celebration last Sunday and you did not grab a goodie bag, please see Susie Hager when you leave. There are plenty left. Our grief share group today will meet at 4 p.m. in room 113. At 6 p.m., there will be no Bible study tonight. It will resume next week. And this Tuesday, May 13th, the Presbyterian Women's Circles will meet at 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Also this Tuesday, our youth will be meeting at 6 p.m. You can place your offerings in our offering plate at the communion table or the narthex before or after worship. There's also a QR code available in your pews that you can do online donations. Will you now stand with me and pass the peace?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. We are glad that you were here this morning on this Mother's Day. What a fun day to be together. Amen. Every day we can be in the presence of the Lord is something holy and special. And we just pray that our worship would be pleasing to Him. Our opening hymn is called The Lord Reigns. We have the choir actually scattered in the congregation among you, so hopefully you can hear this. I will go through it once myself so you can kind of get the tune. It's a very easy tune, but this is right out of the Psalms, and it's a very powerful tune. The Lord. Righteousness, the people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. Blessed be Your name. In this season of Easter, how can we not just be blessed? Amen? Amen. Should be blessed be Your name.
Please be seated.
We gather to worship the God who created us.
The God who knew us in our mother's womb.
We give thanks for those who have nurtured our faith.
For mothers, grandmothers, and all who have guided us in love.
Come, let us worship with joy and gratitude.
For the steadfast love of the Lord is from generation to generation.
Let us continue in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we gather today in the warmth of your presence, filled with the gratitude of the gift of life and the love that shapes it. On this day, we lift up before you the women who have nurtured us, guided us, and loved us with strength and tenderness. We thank you for mothers, for birth mothers and adopted mothers, for grandmothers and godmothers, for spiritual mothers, mentors, and all who have mothered us in faith and life. Their care echoes your own heart, O Lord. A love that protects, sacrifices, and endures. For those who rejoice today in new motherhood, grant them joy. For those who ache with the loss or longing, grant them comfort. For those whose memories are sweet, grant them thanksgiving. For those whose relationships are broken or were strained, grant them peace and hope. Let this service be a place where your grace flows freely, where every heart is seen by you, and where your Spirit moves to renew us. Open our ears to hear your word and our eyes to see your goodness. We pray this all in the strong and everlasting name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, and the Prince of Peace, and the Savior of this world. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But God tells us in the scriptures that if we confess our sins, that he'll cleanse us of all and any unrighteousness. So it's in this moment that we take time to confess using the words in the bulletin, plus a moment for silent confession of our sin to God ourselves, in order to make this mark, in order to receive the fullness of his blessings. We do so expecting to encounter his amazing grace and not his condemnation. So join me as we pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient people. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now I get to declare the wonderful truth. The wonderful truth is that in the fullness of time, God took flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, descended as a servant and as a slave to us, and emerged victorious from the tomb, reminding us ever after that he is victorious. His eternal life becomes our eternal life, and we know and trust in his love. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven this day and forever. Amen. Now, with grateful and joyful hearts, let us rise and sing what we believe.
We believe. Thank you.
You may be seated. And now we'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time with Ms. Petey that's just for them.
We've got a bunch of wonderful good morning girls. We've got all girls. How nice. Today is a special day. Do you know what today is? Why it's special? Mother's Day. Oh, yes. Our mothers are so important to us. And in a little while, you're going to help me give out gifts to all the mothers sitting out there. God gave some rules to Moses in Deuteronomy. He gave him the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments says to honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so you may live long and that it will go well with you. So, how do you honor your mother? What's something special you do for your mother? Helper, that's a good one. Did you say kiss? Yes. Listen to them. Give her a present. All right. Wow. Those are all good things to do, good ways to honor our mothers. We have some gifts that you all are going to give out to these ladies out here. Okay? Nice little bag with a notepad in it and a pen. Okay? So, yeah. Hey, sweetheart. So, let's remember we need to honor our mothers all the days of our lives. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for our mothers. They are so special to us. And we want to make sure that this day, that they know how much we love them. Amen. Now, if you would take some of these, give them to all the ladies out there. Give one to all the ladies. There you go. Give them to the ladies. Whoop. Here you go. There's some more. Yes, thank you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we do so by beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just pray that now, in the quiet of our heart, that you would speak to us. By your word and by your spirit, move within us in this reading and proclaiming of your word, allowing us to know your love ever more deeply, to experience your grace ever more sincerely, and Father God, to know how to serve you ever more clearly. Bless us in this reading of your word, which is the only necessary rule for life and faith for us. Bless us by this word of grace that you shower upon us freely, knowing that no word of this will ever change. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of the coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. So follow along with me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
The last several psalms in the Psalter are all about the praise of the Lord, and this one captures that tone of those final psalms perfectly. It reminds us that we're not to put our faith into people more so than we do into the word of our Lord, our God. People, unfortunately, as we all know, even though they don't mean to, oftentimes fail us. And the intent of the psalm is to really hammer home the idea that there is one among us that never fails us, that never leaves us, never forsakes us. And that one is God. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ that you find him and that you know him and that you love him and adore him. Because when we do, what we find is the praise becomes an intrinsic part of our being. We tend to rejoice in the everyday and in the mundane because life is so precious to us, knowing that our Lord and Savior gave his life, that not only did he give us life, that he shed his own life like a grain of wheat falling to the ground, dying so that much fruit might be given. And that's the kind of praise that opens us up to the joy of the Lord. When we're praising God, it's very hard to find ourselves in a deep or dark depression. When we praise, what we find is access to joy, a joy that surpasses even what we know of happiness. It's a deep-seated joy that comes to us regardless of our circumstances. That's another part of this psalm. It tells us so very clearly that God is going to be with us in thick and thin. Throughout these trials and storms of our lives, our God will be with us. And that is indeed cause for praise. Our New Testament reading today comes to us from the second letter of Timothy. And it is the second letter of Timothy is one of my favorite of Paul's epistles because it is so resonant with the love of the Lord. And to know the circumstances that Paul was in as he wrote this letter makes it even more majestic. You see, Paul at this point was shackled to a Roman centurion, we've got to imagine, on his way to Rome, where he would ultimately be tried before Caesar and killed. And so he is in his final days writing these letters, and this one in particular to a young protege named Timothy. And one of the things that we often miss is just how persuasive a writer Paul is by the power of the Holy Spirit. He really writes the letters that spur the church on to growth and evangelism. It's hard to imagine the church growing as it did without Paul's contribution to Scripture, and especially these letters he writes in captivity as he approaches his own demise. He writes to Timothy, and he uses all of the rhetorical brilliance of a great writer. You know, it's interesting to think about the life of Paul. We don't know terribly much about him other than what he reveals to us in the Scriptures. We don't know a lot about his background other than he's from Tarsus. But what we do know is that Paul was a master of using language in order to be convincing. And that was no doubt a gift of the Holy Spirit of God for him. So he writes this letter to his young protege. He's really desirous of Timothy continuing to keep the faith and to fight the good fight. He's very much believing that Timothy needs to carry on with the work that he's doing. And that's exactly what Timothy does. We know from church history that Timothy was a very significant disciple in the early church and made quite a bit of headway working alongside Paul evangelistically. So we read from 2 Timothy, we read verses from chapter 1, we read verses 3 through 7. And let's see if we can understand what he does here. He writes, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." We read this letter and we realize that Paul uses, as I said, all of his rhetorical brilliance to prepare Timothy for the remainder of the letter. He does so and he points to his mother and grandmother. It's a brilliant ploy. Rhetorically, if you think about it, because Paul knows something of these two, this mother and grandmother, and he knows of their faith. He says that he saw their faith, the faith that Timothy has, live in them before it lived in him. That's an amazing testimony to these women's faith. And it reminds us that oftentimes one of the ways that we clearly understand God is through the love of our mothers. One of the things that can be truthful, though, is not all of us had good mothers. That was brought into stark realization for me when the first church that I served, the First Church of Mount Holly, invited one of their Guatemalan brothers and sisters to come to Charlotte, for a brief visit. It was a wonderful time as Amanda Godoy de Santos came and was able to work with our women and get to know them and forge really long-lasting ties to our community, even though she was from far away Guatemala. And one of the events that they had scheduled was a question and answer for her, and she did it really well. I would think that many questions coming at me about my life would make me a little antsy, but she did exceedingly well. And one of the questions was about her parents. And there was this real kind of dramatic pause as she looked down and gathered her thoughts. And she kind of teared up a little bit. And she said, and I don't forget the words because this was a second language for her. And she said, "My mother was indifferent." Indifferent was the word she used. And by that, she meant that her mother had largely abandoned her. And she went on to tell us the most uplifting story about that church in Guatemala that we were partnered with, about how it had become her surrogate mother, really, in a lot of ways, since her mother was so bad. So I'm aware that not all of us had the best mothers, but one of the things that we can do is look to our Lord Jesus Christ as the exemplar of what God's love looks like and how that manifests itself in and through the women that love us as mothers and grandmothers. One of the things that we've got to see is that we can see the image of God ever more clearly when we deal with good mothers, because good mothers often exemplify the very same traits that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. Not that mothers are perfect, that's not the claim of this sermon by any stretch of the imagination. But what is the claim is that we understand the love of God more clearly through the love of our mothers and grandmothers in a special way. And we do because mothers have so many traits when they're functioning well that our Lord, our God, has as well. The first one, of course, is comfort. God is comforting just as mothers are comforting. From the very first moments that we breathe in our lives and we're thrust upon our mothers to every skin knee where she comes chasing after us with Bactine and Band-Aids to get it better, we recognize that our mothers can comfort us in a way that few others can. And it's in that comfort that we realize that God is at work in the world in a very clear way. We read in Isaiah, we read this: "For the mountains may be to depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart for you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has comfort and compassion on you." We recognize that our mothers are able to comfort us in a way that few others. I remember being a very sickly child and having a mom who had an enormous imagination, and she would come into my room and sit beside the vaporizer that was running. Do you remember those? The cold, the comfort, the cough. She would sit there and tell me just the most amazing stories of knights and heroes and dragons and goblins. And it really captured my imagination and took my mind off of my illness at the time. That's the kind of comfort that mothers are able to give us throughout all of our lives. There's a really good commercial on right now that captures it, I think. I think it's a Food Lion ad. You know, the kids these days have gotten so advanced with asking people to dances that they have to have signs, and they call it a promposal. Have you all heard of that? It's another layer of hassle that I can't believe that teenagers have to deal with. But they're dealing with it. And there's this great Food Lion ad right now where a kid comes in holding a sign saying, you know, "Will you go to the dance with me?" So Emma, I think, is the name. He comes in and the mother asks him how it goes. And I don't even think he answers. He just tears the sheet in half and says she said no. But that night, there's a really touching scene where she buys a cake at the Food Lion, right? It's a Food Lion ad. And then on the cake is emblazoned, "Bad call, Emma." And it really brightens the kid's mind up, and it reminds us of the kind of compassion and caring and comfort that our mothers are able to give us. Paul writes about this as he talks about the two that are with him, the two that nurtured the faith of Timothy. And Jesus Christ is the one who really gives us the most comfort. He says to us, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus Christ comforts us by the power of his Holy Spirit. He comes to us in difficult times. I know that there are many of you that have difficult times right now in the front of your existence. There's difficult medical things going on. There are difficult family situations going on. There's the difficulty that arises because we live in a broken world still. And as a result, I know that God is comforting you. I know that God is speaking to you through His Word and reminding you of His love, and especially entreating you to remain faithful. Fear and faith don't exist very well in the same mind. And the more faith that we're able to muster by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more we can intersect with that ongoing protection and comfort of our Lord. In fact, one of the images most frequently used for God, I shouldn't say most, frequently used for God in the Old Testament is like a mother hen sheltering her chicks under her wings. Now, if we think about that as a picture, it's a marvelous picture of a comforting mother. But we also remember that the full weight of the storm is borne not by the chicks, but by the mothers. And gosh, have I seen that in my life through the work of Natalie as well as my own mom, the sacrifices that they've made in order to raise children, and especially to raise a particularly wayward one like myself. Mothers are comforting. They comfort us and provide for us in ways that show us the love of God in a special and new way. God also uses mothers to instruct us, does He not? Of course He does. I think about it today that I know how to use a fork or set a table is all the function of a mother that cared enough about me to raise me right. It's one of the reasons why we see very clearly that mothers can really show us how to do the ropes and to make it through life in a way that few others can, because they know where our strength and weaknesses lie, and they're able to love us despite our shortcomings, aren't they? Which is a real blessing at times. You know, I'm only a Christian, I think, because of the love of my mother. It was my mom who prayed for me as I went through some very dark times in my early 20s. And I'll never forget how often she used to invite me to church. One of the things that she would do every time is, you know, this church is at 10 o'clock. Do you want to join me? You can come. And I often, almost always rebuffed her. I had other things going on, which was a lie. I didn't really. I would just sleep in, I guess, on Sunday and not do a whole lot in that particular window. But Mom kept praying for me. And eventually, when things got particularly dark, I took her up on that invitation to go to church. And my life has really been changed by it. I'm not only a Christian, I got to be a pastor in a Christian denomination, which is a blessing, and I get to pastor y'all, which is a real blessing to my soul. And that's all because of a mother's prayer. I thought it was really funny that day that I got baptized, that I had really done something in the world. You know, it's amazing what you get wrong early on in Christianity. But when you get baptized as an adult, sometimes it was for me the case that I wanted to give myself a lot of credit, right? I was very humbled when at that service where I was baptized, there was about 20 65-year-old plus women that all were waiting to talk to me afterwards. And all of them said the same thing, that they had been praying for me to come to Christ. They had been praying for me to come to Christ, and I had come, and they were rejoicing. I don't know that they're still rejoicing. Maybe they've heard a sermon of mine and gone to sleep, but they still, they were rejoicing at the time. Mothers instruct us in the faith, the good ones do, and it provides for us. And it reminds us of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a teacher. In fact, his students called him Rabbi, Rabboni, meaning teacher. He really came to earth to share what God's true plan was. And his true plan was, in the fullness of time, his son, Jesus, would take flesh by the Holy Spirit and by Mary, and would come and suffer and die for our sins. That's what we know about God and how He changes and moves us and how He protects us and nurtures us and how He instructs us is exactly how Jesus Christ instructs us. Sometimes, instruction comes on the fly. I'll never forget one of our kids getting a cup of punch that they didn't like at a party at the church once, and they went to dump the cup back into the punch bowl. They said, "Ugh!" And boy, I'll tell you what, Natalie caught that hand. She's quicker than you would think. And gave some experiential learning to that child, I think. But mothers work like that. And so does God. Don't forget, God rebukes people frequently when we're out of whack. And never more clearly is when Peter wants Jesus to avoid the passion. And what is it that Jesus Christ says to him? "Get behind thee, Satan." Quite a harsh rebuke. In that instruction, we realize that God sometimes speaks kind and loving words to us, and sometimes he speaks words of correction. And we find those in the scriptures. That's why the scriptures, one of the reasons the scriptures are so important to us. Without them, we don't know how to live. And through them, we do. We do know how to live correctly under God's way. You know, Petey was talking about one of the Ten Commandments. Just think about that. God, at the outset of his relationship with his people, gave terms by which they would live peacefully with each other and with God. That's the kind of instructing God that we have, that cares enough to teach us and to show us the way of life. And of course, we know that mothers are very forgiving. They know where all the bodies are buried and all the bad deeds that have been done are done, and they still forgive us. I'll never forget a time when my mom was leading a Girl Scout troop at Sharon Presbyterian Church, and there was a really big event and meeting that she was in charge of, some kind of jamboree, I don't quite remember. But I was a little miffed at having to go and wait, and I found my way into a closet where there were a large array of light switches. And I thought, wouldn't this be fun to turn off the lights? And I did. But what I didn't know is this was like 1970s lighting, right? It didn't come right back on. It took about 30 minutes to warm up again. So I had effectively crashed my mom's Girl Scout jamboree. That was a long trip home, and we only lived about 5 minutes from Sharon Presbyterian Church. I'll never forget going to my room and spending a good deal of time there in thought and remorse about what I had done. And eventually, my mom, who was horribly embarrassed by the fact that her son had pretty much ruined this thing, came upstairs, and we had a nice talk. And the bottom line was, she forgave me, right? She said, "I forgive you." And what a relief that was to me. What an amazing and extraordinary relief that was. Now take a moment and realize Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross for us so that we would find forgiveness for our souls. He gave himself up so that we would be reconciled back to God the Father in a special new way, a way that would be untainted by sin, and that gives us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, entry into this abundant and joyful life that we have through Jesus Christ. And it's all because of him. He laid down his life. He suffered and died for us and for our salvation. And for that reason, we know that God is self-sacrificing in a way that we see in a whole lot of mothers. I have seen Natalie come home from a long night at work and go immediately to making the kids lunches. I have seen women take on unimaginable burdens on behalf of their children and do so with joy in their heart. They do so because mothers reflect that self-sacrificial nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good ones do. And in them, we find the truth of the gospel, that there is one willing to lay down their life for us. One who came from God, who returned to God, and who shows us that everlasting life is our inheritance. And that one is Jesus Christ. And he is the one that we celebrate. Our mothers show us in unique and wonderful ways the love of God, and especially the love of Christ. and they do so all with self-sacrificing humility at their forefront, which is another trait that we see in God, is this humility of Jesus Christ. You can only imagine if Jesus had wanted to, he could have been known throughout the world immediately as the King and Savior of mankind, but he wasn't. He was humble even to the point of death on the cross that he suffered and endured for us and for our salvation. So this Mother's Day, let us remember that we who have had good mothers have been blessed in a unique way to learn more about God because of the love of our mothers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer with our hearts rectified, praying for intercession and supplication. Join me as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them and well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for all of those people who've been affected by illnesses. We pray for people who are fighting diseases, as well as pray for their families. We pray especially for those who've lost loved ones. We pray for this world broken by sin. We pray for our country, praying that your Holy Spirit would allow us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope and faith in the world. We pray for this community, Father God, asking that you continue to bless us on the west side of Charlotte with peace and prosperity. We thank you for the men and women among us that make our lives possible to live in safety and peace. We thank you for our police officers and our firefighters. We thank you for our EMTs and for our doctors and nurses. We thank you for the caregivers and the teachers of our world, for we know that you are blessing us through them in a unique and wonderful way. Father God, we pray for all of those on Cook's prayer list, including especially this morning, Jimmy McClure, Dwight Black, Vera Smith, Phyllis Monteith, Jack McClure, Marcia Sifford, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith, and all the many others that are on our inner prayer list today. We make all these prayers to you, Father God, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. As we close our service, let us be grateful for God, for his many blessings. We may not have had a good mother, but we definitely have a good God who has shown us his love in Jesus Christ. And for those who had good mothers, we pray that today would be a rightful celebration. For those who are missing their moms, we pray for peace and comfort. For those who are expecting, we pray for blessings. We pray for mothers just as we pray for all. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.